Paul wrote of the blessing of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, he said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Philippians chapter 2, he talks about fellowship of the Spirit, or one translation says fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's the same reality. The Holy Spirit is a dynamic person who lives inside of our spirit. Now, I know we all know that, but sometimes we end up reducing the Holy Spirit to a power source or an influence. But he's a very powerful, dynamic, eternal person. He is as much God as the Father and the Son are. One God in three persons. Now, to just be very simple, the point I'm going to develop throughout this session is that we fellowship with him simply by talking with him. It doesn't end there, but that's the core reality. We talk to him. He talks back to us or inspires ideas into our heart. The point I want to emphasize tonight is that we want to so value our relationship with the Holy Spirit that we cultivate it in an intentional way. We cultivate a friendship with him. We do this by speaking to the God who dwells within us. We say, our Father who art in heaven, but there's a time to actually talk to the God who dwells in us. And you'll see that more clearly as we unfold the scriptures, if this is a new idea to you. I know to many of you this is a familiar idea, but it's one we need to be constantly reminded of and called back to. Paragraph D, a vibrant walk with the Holy Spirit is essential to experiencing more of God. Now, everybody wants to experience more of God. I don't know any believers, I want to go deeper, I want to experience more. But a vibrant walk with the person who dwells in us is critical to that. And it's easy to overlook that relationship with him while seeking a vibrant walk. I mean, seeking a deep experience. The Holy Spirit could say, I'm the escort that leads you into the fullness of God's heart. It's futile to expect deep experiences while we neglect his leadership in our life, or we neglect our relationship with him. Paragraph E, our greatest destiny is to grow in intimacy with God through the indwelling Spirit. Even our fellowship with the Father and the Son are through the agency and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I call him the great escort to help us encounter the Father and the Son. Thus, our destiny is that we would share in, participate in the family dynamics of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell together in perfect love. And they have beckoned the people of God, the body of Christ, to be his family, far beyond what angels are called to. We actually participate in some of the dynamics of the fellowship and the love and the enjoyment that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have. God has so opened his heart. He has so opened that some of the deep parts of his family life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, it's one God in three persons. The great mystery of the Blessed Trinity. This is really the essence of Christianity. Christianity is so much more than getting out of hell, though I always appreciate that. So much more than getting our circumstances blessed. I really like that. So much more than having a powerful ministry and impacting people. I like that. The essence is that as a human being, we interact and participate in the family dynamics of God forever. Beloved, this is awesome that we are called into this kind of relationship with him. The very prayer, the very first priority and call of prayer is communion with God. Yes, we release his power. Yes, we release blessing. But communion, interaction with him, is the very first call of the subject of prayer. We don't limit it to that, but we don't neglect that either. Paragraph G. I want to be a person of the Spirit. I want to be a man of the Spirit. That involves knowing the Holy Spirit in my internal life as well as my external ministry. Some people talk about this, they go, oh, she's really a woman of the Spirit, or he's a man of the Spirit. What they mean is they operate in the prophetic. They see visions. They pray for people and dynamic things happen, and I love that. I want to be a man of the Spirit in that, by that definition. But being a person of the Spirit isn't limited to operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to be a man of the Spirit in my interior life. I want to know Him. I don't mean just obey Him. I do want to obey Him. But I mean more than that. I want to interact with Him. I want to enjoy Him. I want Him to enjoy talking with me. That's what I mean by being a man of the Spirit, as well as then releasing His power and being a vessel of His glory to other people. Roman numeral 2. Now, to understand the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's important we understand how God created us in three parts. This is very, very, very simple and fundamental. We are spirit, soul, and body. One man said that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. I like that. Simplistic, and there's more to it than that, but I just think that's just a good grid framework to think about this with. We are a spirit. When you live forever in eternity, you won't have the same body. You'll have a resurrected body. You have the same DNA, but it'll be resurrected with a supernatural dimension to it. But you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Now, the soul, in popular language, is our personality. It consists of our mind, emotion, and will. And sometimes the scripture refers to this dimension of our human makeup as the heart. Sometimes the mind, sometimes the heart, sometimes together. And Paul calls it the inner man. It's all connected together. So it's not like one verse says it all in a real, systematic breakdown. But often when the Bible's talking about the heart, it combines the mind and the will in the idea of the heart. And sometimes they're distinct. The heart would focus on the emotions versus the mind focusing on the thinking, etc. Paragraph B, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 6, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with God. I mean, that's amazing. I read that and go, oh, Paul, that is dramatic. And I think Paul would say, that's my point. He goes, don't you know? He was actually, the context, if you read it, he's calling them out of immorality. Different ones were stumbling in immorality. He goes, don't you understand that your physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's like he was saying, the Holy of Holies is inside of you. I mean, that's not a complete statement. But that dimension of the Shekinah glory, the indwelling God, is actually in you. You're a temple. The reality of the new birth is much more than we're forgiven. I love the truth of being forgiven. The reality of the new birth, God dwelling forever in the human spirit. Our born-again spirit has received the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the very righteousness of Christ. Because the Holy Spirit couldn't live in our born-again spirit. He couldn't live in our spirit if our spirit wasn't made righteous. Because God can't dwell in darkness. It's our mind and emotions that we struggle with, the darkness and the desires in our body, but our human spirit is the place where God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. Now, we can't measure our human spirit by our five senses. So, I mean, I'd like to get a handful of my spirit and kind of analyze it. But the human spirit, we can't discern it. We can't measure it. We can't evaluate it by our five natural senses. We can feel the impact of the Spirit inspiring our mind and emotions. But God, the Holy Spirit, lives in your spirit. I mean, God does, not just a little touch. I'm talking about the fullness of God dwells in our spirit, in the sense of the fullness of what God's ordained for the human spirit to have. And the point I'm making by that is in the resurrection, your spirit man doesn't receive more of God. Your mind and emotions are more inspired. Your body reflects the glory of God more. But your spirit man has as much of the fullness of God as God has ordained for the human experience to ever have, even in the resurrection. You have it right now, the day you're born again. We have this new and deep connectedness with God. Top of page 2. Now, the King James Version says that he that believes on me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. The New American Standard, which is probably arguably one, the most accurate, or one of the top most accurate English translations. Some debate it. It's number one or two or three. Some say another one is, whatever, but it's right at the top. It says, it doesn't use the word out of your belly, but it's out of your innermost being, the human spirit. But notice the word that Jesus used is flow. There's a flow. There's a progressive, sustained release of his presence. Flows like a river. That's an interesting. There's a sustained, progressive, I mean forever, it will be flowing in you. Not it. He will be flowing in you like a river. The Holy Spirit. Paragraph D, in John 4, Jesus refers to the same reality, but he says it differently. He says, the water I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up. In John 7, he says, it's like a river flowing. In John 4, like a fountain springing up. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in your human spirit. And it, his influence springs up, is the word Jesus used. And it inspires your mind. It inspires your emotions. It releases the power of God through you to bless others. Paragraph E, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would flow like a river and spring up out of our spirit. Again, he dwells in our born-again spirit. But we want him to inspire, transform, direct, mold our mind and our emotions, our thinking and our feelings. Very simple. The more we engage our mind, we talk to the Spirit, we're posturing ourselves, our mind and emotions are renewed by his influence. Again, he dwells in our spirit. And I think of our spirit, it's not like there's a a perfect way to say the location of our spirit, but I like the King James term, out of your belly. I think of when I think of God, the Holy Spirit living in me, this is an imperfect analogy and an imperfect picture, but I think of the Shekinah glory of God like dwelling in my spirit, my belly. Not my physical man, but my born-again spirit. Like the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament temple. The more we engage with that person who dwells in our spirit, the more it impacts our mind and emotions. Paragraph F. The Spirit describes God as light. So I think of the Shekinah glory of God. And the Shekinah glory of God is a term that they used in the Old Testament, that in the temple they had the outer court, the inner court, and they had that little room, you know, about the size of this platform, not exactly, but I mean, it's not real big, a little bit bigger than this. And in that room, there was one place on the earth, the Shekinah glory. It was like, I think of Moses, he saw God in the burning bush. And that manifest glory was literally residing in that little room called the Holy of Holies. He now dwells like that. It's an imperfect, again, description, how to say it. But God, the Holy Spirit, he dwells like light, like the Shekinah glory, literally dwelling in our spirit. When I talk to him, I picture this glorious, diamond-like, radiant being, God, the Shekinah glory, God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in my spirit, and I talk to him. Now, that's not exactly how it is. I don't know of a perfect word picture and analogy, but that kind of gets you into the right framework. I think you're talking to a real person that's bigger than our descriptions. Paragraph G. Whenever I talk about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, some people, which I appreciate this, actually, they get all worried. I don't want to get so into the Holy Spirit, I forget Jesus. I go, good, I like that. Believe it or not, it's the Holy Spirit who is the author of that zeal in you. There is nobody more zealous and loyal to Jesus than the Holy Spirit. If you talk to him, I promise you, if you talk to him, he'll be leading you into greater understanding of his glory and greater embracing of Jesus' leadership and word in your life. You won't be led astray if you get into a conversation with God the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason they're worried when they first hear it, some, is because some of the world religions, false religions, they talk about about light dwelling in the human frame. And there is no light dwelling in a person who's not born again. The light is by the person of the Holy Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit comes to live in us at the new birth, there is no light. There is no inner light to connect with. That's a counterfeit. That's a deception. Those religions, they don't have the Holy Spirit, doesn't live in people in context of those religions. And the Holy Spirit's not leading people to Jesus in their theological framework of those false religions. So we're not into that at all. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what the Bible talks about. Jesus said, I assure you, he will glorify me. He will take what is mine. He'll take what pertains to me. He'll lead people to me. He'll only reveal what makes people more loyal to me. So we're in good hands. But I like it when people are a little, at the front end, a little nervous. I go, that's good, good. That's a good heart. Holy Spirit is already working that in you. Roman number 3, walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5, it's one of the great verses. There's a condition with a promise. The condition, walk in the Spirit. The promise, you'll overcome sinful desires. Doesn't mean they'll all go away, but they won't overcome you. They won't ensnare you. They won't bring you in bondage. Now, what happens is a lot of people, very zealous for the Lord, they want to overcome. They want to not fulfill sinful fleshly desires. Whether it's in the realm of immorality or various things they put in their body or just different worldly values and experiences that are related to them. They don't want to fulfill them. They don't want to walk in those. They don't want to be overcome by those desires. What they do in their sincerity is they put their energy and their focus to stop the desire. So they try to, it's almost like they're gritting their teeth and focusing on, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Did it again. Paul didn't say, he didn't start the equation, if you deny fleshly desires, you will not walk in them. There is a place where we do deny it. That's a part, but that's not the primary thing. He says, you walk in the Spirit. That's the focus. You'll find yourself experiencing an influence on your mind and emotions that will affect your body. I don't mean all your sinful desires will go away and it won't all, you have no more temptation. That's not what I'm talking about. But Paul says, you walk in the Spirit, you turn your attention away from trying to only resist bad desires, turn your attention to talking to the Spirit, interacting with that person who lives in you, and you will find his inspiration on your mind and emotions will affect what you do with your body. Again, it doesn't make everything that you desire that's negative go away, but it gives you an inspiration. It gives you a motivation, an empowering to resist it and to overcome it. You know, the old analogy is, you know, how if a room's, I mean, you've heard it over the years, that a room that's full of darkness, you know, you can't open the window and then take a bucket full of darkness and pour it out. The way you get darkness out of a room is turn the light switch on. The way you overcome darkness is focus on light. Focus on light. Paragraph two. This is one of the most important practical statements in this particular teaching. We will walk in the Spirit to the degree we talk to the Spirit. If you will talk to the Holy Spirit, I mean these kind of short, intermittent conversations throughout the day, little phrases, just short little sound bites of conversation. There are times you'll talk to him for sustained periods, for 5 or 10 minutes, or maybe for an hour. But I'm talking about lots of little 10 and 20 second exchanges of you talking to him. It's as simple as that. I mean, there's more that is that we walk out, we obey him, we believe his word, but it begins with talking, and that's the core reality. I'm going to say it again, paragraph two. We will walk in the Spirit to the degree we talk to the Spirit. Do you talk to the Holy Spirit in a conscious, intentional way? You might go, no. When's the last time you talked directly to the Holy Spirit, dwelling in your spirit? This is something you want to build a lifestyle around. Romans 8 in the New American Standard, the NAS. I remember in my early days how this verse just riveted me. He talked about the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit, this, it's more than just the things of the Spirit. That's certainly included. But the mind that's actually set on a person who dwells in you. I mean, yes, we set our mind on Jesus. Yes, we set our mind on the Father who art in heaven, who dwells on his throne in heaven. But it's not like one is competing with the other. God, the Holy Spirit, is always leading us to Jesus and to the Father. Always. But I remember how it was like the light went on when I saw that verse in my college years. The mind set on the Spirit. I remember I told everybody about it. I didn't fully understand it. Actually, it was more simple than I thought. I asked everybody what this meant. Then finally, I concluded. I'm in a real search. I read commentaries. Nobody would talk about it. Nobody addressed it in the commentaries. Read many commentaries on Romans. Asked a lot of people. Then After a while, I just concluded it meant the mind that set on the Spirit. It just meant that. And I went, oh, okay, just that simple, okay. Got it. I was trying to make it seem more complicated to me. Top of page 3. Talking to the Holy Spirit. In prayer, we focus our mind on God in two ways. We focus our mind on the Father who sits on his throne. I mean, as we're worshiping Jesus, I mean, obviously we focus our mind on Jesus, but my point is we're going to God in heaven and we're talking to God who dwells in us. There's two different directions. When I dwell on God who is in heaven and the Son at the right hand, and I worship the worthiness of the Son at his right hand. My point is, my mind is going out and up. And there's other times my mind is going internal. Not to myself, not to the, you know, some human thing, but to God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in my spirit. Paragraph B, the Holy Spirit longs for us to talk with him. But here's the deal. He won't force the conversation. If you don't talk to the Holy Spirit today, then he's not going to force you into a friendship. But as long as you talk, he'll keep the conversation going. As long as you're interested in the conversation, he'll keep it going. You'll talk to him. He'll be attentively listening, and he'll be inspiring thoughts intermittently and touching us. I don't mean like every time we quiet ourselves and talk to the Holy Spirit, we feel it, but he's attentive is what I mean. He's engaged with us. C, paragraph C. Often he talks. He doesn't use audible words every now and then, but that's a very rare, but he gives impressions. He sensitizes our emotions. So we feel his nearness, or we feel inspired, or we feel emboldened or resolved to obey. Or he speaks through his word, or reading his word, and the word seems alive to us. That's God the Holy Spirit talking to us through the written word. He gives us subtle impressions that release power on our mind and our emotions. Beloved, the power that touches your emotions is God the Holy Spirit. Even though it's a small measure, that is God at work in you. Elijah was talking to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, Elijah, I'm not in the storm or the earthquake or whatever. He says, all the things he went through. He goes, I speak to you in the still small voice. Now, God does speak in the earthquake, the storm sometimes. But the norm is the whisper, meaning the inspiring of our mind and of our emotions. That gentle but distinct, it's not all the time, all day, but those moments we feel tenderized or resolved to obey or resolved to believe or emboldened. I like what paragraph D, what Augustine said. Called one of the greatest teachers in church history, lived in about the 400s. Augustine said that he lost much time seeking the Lord outwardly instead of turning inwardly. And I'm sure he would have more to say than that. I think there's a lot to be gained by worshiping the Lord, you know, out and up at his throne. I love that Revelation 4, throne of God coming before him. And that's biblical and that's glorious. And I'm sure that Augustine would affirm that. But he's making a powerful point here. Roman numeral 5, getting started. I suggest this is just a thought, a framework. Don't like pull out your stopwatch and time it or anything. I encourage people, be intentional about this. Take a couple times a day, 2-3 times a day, 3-4-5 times a day, whatever. Take 2-3-4 minutes. I mean, don't start at 2 hours. That's the real point I'm making. And don't just let it happen when it happens. Say, no, I'm going to do this a couple times a day. I'm going to stop for a couple minutes. I'm going to turn my attention inwardly, and I'm going to talk to a person. I'm going to share my heart with him and ask him to touch me. Often, as I said in our last session, when I'm driving back and forth from the Redbird Center to here, 5 minutes, driving by myself, I talk to the Holy Spirit. Just all kinds of little 5 and 7 minute little time frames. I just engage in my fellowship prayer, those 10 prayers to strengthen our inner man, or the 5 letters of the acronym TRUST, we're going to look at it in a moment. It's so simple. That's why we're not spending a lot of time. There's not much to it. It's quite simple to do it. But I'll just take that 5 minutes and I'll talk to the Holy Spirit. I encourage people, paragraph D, when you do this, linger in his presence. When you're talking to the Holy Spirit, don't get in a hurry. Just as you're speaking to him and you're speaking specifically, which we're going to get to in a moment, just every now and then, just occasionally whisper statements of affection. I love you, Holy Spirit. I enjoy your presence. I love your leadership. So as you're asking him to release his glory or to teach you, just every now and then, just express your affection for his leadership and his very presence in you. Then just gently and intermittently praying in the Holy Spirit. When you're doing that, just kind of mixing it all up together. Don't be in a rush. Don't be wordy. He enjoys it when we recognize his presence. Paragraph E, when I speak to the Holy Spirit, I don't do rapid fire prayer. God, Holy Spirit, release your glory. Holy Spirit says, I'm with you. I can talk faster than you. But the reason I encourage people to dial down, you'll feel a lot more. You'll feel a whole lot more. When you're not, you don't have so much traffic going on in your soul. You're not so expressive yet, but you're more receptive. And I find it best, I'm just whispering, and it's intermittently phrases to him. Short, simple phrases, slow, softly, where I'm not stirring my soul up in a real, over-aggressive mode. I can hear and receive far more in the other posture of dialed down. Sometimes I'll just gently sigh. Romans 8, Paul called it groanings that cannot be uttered. There's those groans or sighs that come out. And I talk softly and slowly, short phrases. I do that much more than lots of words and lots of talking. Paragraph F. One of my very favorite prayers, at the very top of the list. I've shared it many times over the years. I love to say, Holy Spirit, let me see what you see. And let me feel what you feel about. You could put one of 1,000 subjects in there. I love to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, let me see what you see and let me feel what you feel about the students at IHOPU, about my neighbors, about the world economy, about my adversaries. How do you feel about them? He feels a lot more generous than we do. About the person that's bothering you or blocking your goals or the person that's stepping in line to take your position. Holy Spirit feels a lot different about those kind of people than we do. What do you think about Europe? What do you think about the police force in our city? What do you think about any subject? And he knows everything about everything. Top of page 4. Just in the last few moments here, you don't limit your talking to the Holy Spirit to these 5, but this is just a good jump start. It's a good place to start you off. I don't by any means limit myself to this, but often when I start my prayer life, it's like Smith Wigglesworth said. He was a famous healing evangelist in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, 1920s, 30s, 40s. He would say, I begin in the flesh and I end in the spirit. And what he meant by I begin in the flesh, I begin without feeling anything, without a sense of inspiration. And I just start talking to the Lord, and over a little bit of time, I feel inspired. Not every time, but so I begin without inspiration, and then a few moments later, not every time, but sometimes I feel inspired. I begin in the flesh and end in the spirit. That's what he's famous for. I mean, I've heard that quoted many times over the years, Smith Wigglesworth. Well, this 5-letter acronym, TRUST, it helps me to focus. Try to pray it on a daily basis. Try to pray it a couple times. Pray it in 5 minutes, a minute for each one of the letters. You don't have to wait for 2 hours. But you may get focused on one of the letters and you don't have to finish it. Just the Holy Spirit just loves talking to you. He didn't care if you finish the list. He doesn't care if you get off the subject. He really likes you. And he has a lot to say to you, but he won't force you to talk to him. First, I start with thank you. I turn my attention inwardly. We're going to do this in a moment just for our short ministry time. I turn my attention inward. I just recognize his presence. An inadequate picture. But it's the best way for me to describe it. I picture like that glorious diamond-like radiance of God, like the burning bush of Moses dwelling in my belly, in my human spirit. I don't mean in my physical part, but I'm talking about in my human spirit. And I turn my attention inward, and when I first began to do this, it was a little awkward. I couldn't really connect with it. I didn't. But if you stay with it, the sense of connectedness, the sense of feeling the inspiration will grow. It will grow if you stay with it. Because the Holy Spirit wants to help you do this. I've talked to the Holy Spirit a number of times. I go, Holy Spirit, teach me how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Really? He goes, oh, I'm really good. I tell you a lot about how to do that. Like, I want to know how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Would you show me? Would you take me by the hand and lead me? Well, anyway, back to paragraph, thank you. So I'll just turn my attention and I'll just, don't get in a big hurry, just thank you. Thank you that you're there. And I just kind of, again, in the imperfect way, I'm just gazing into that Shekinah glory and just intermittently, just every now and then I'll just say a phrase, I love your leadership. I love your presence. I enjoy you. Thank you. God, the Holy Spirit, you're in me. Wow, thank you. I know he likes it because just in my human senses, when I do that, not every time, but I feel his presence. I go, oh, what's that? And I'm just imagining. He's saying, I like you talking this way. I like it when you talk to me this way. I encourage you to do it. I love to just lock into the first T, the thank you. Just stay there for a while. Pray the Spirit a little bit. Just kind of be quiet. Again, don't kick into rapid fire. Just kind of linger there. Stay there a minute or two. Stay there 3 or 4 minutes. Stay there 5 or 10 minutes. Sometimes you'll stay there for long periods of time. I don't want to put some big number and then that's the new gold standard. If you're really deep, forget all that. Just start. Start little. And some seasons you'll go, you'll sustain it more. And then other seasons you'll kind of lose your grip of this. And then you recommit and go back and sign up again. At least that's been my experience. R, I ask him to release the revelation of his glory, that whole realm of his glory. I mean, the Holy Spirit is our escort into the realm of the glory of God. I want to see the heavenly supernatural realm. I mean, only God the Spirit can bring you into that realm in a right, in a godly way. I mean, I know there's the demonic counterfeit, but I'm talking about in a holy, biblical, wholesome way. And I ask him, let me see your glory. Let me encounter. I mean, there's so many ways that believers have encountered the glory of God. I mean, in a way, direct supernatural encounters. And I go, I don't care how. I want more of those. I want little ones, big ones, dramatic ones, subtle ones. I want more of the realm of your glory. Father of glory, let me have revelation of you and encounter you and open my eyes and my dreams and visions and in dramatic encounters, and I'll trust your leadership. If I don't have them very often, which I don't, then I trust your leadership. But I want them. Use me. The Bible tells us that we are to diligently seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit. People said we're supposed to seek his face, not his hand. That's not true. We are to seek his face and his hand. And we're to seek his face first. But the statement, seek his face, not his hand, is not a biblical statement at all. We seek his face first, but we seek his hand diligently. Paul said, diligently seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit, desire them. And one of the most diligent ways is by asking. I ask the Holy Spirit, give me impressions. Give me impressions, the subtle impressions. That's the foundational way the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate. Not the only way by any means, but that's the day in and day out kind of core foundational way. He'll give you an impression. You'll be talking to your friend and you'll just have even necessarily a whole sentence, but a phrase or an impression, a picture. And you'll say it to them. You don't even have to say, God showed me. Matter of fact, I encourage people not to say God showed me. Just say it to them. You know, I'm going to pray that the Lord's going to have a breakthrough in this area of your life. And they go, hey, that's the very area I'm praying for. You can say, you don't have to say, God showed me this is the area. Just tell them you're going to pray for that area. And they'll go, how did you know that's the very area? It's okay if you say God showed you, but you don't have to. And if you say God showed me too many times, people could listen to you. But you can do it supernaturally, natural. You can ask for impressions and phrases and just put them into the conversation. Say, hey, I want to pray this over you. Or you can say that this is something that I believe the Lord's going to emphasize in your life, or he's going to show you more of, and they'll go, wow. And not always. Sometimes it won't mean anything to them, and other times it'll mean something to them later. But I mean, you flow in the gifts by you start off saying those phrases, and then more happens if you stay with it. That's why I encourage people to, you know, like in times of ministry time, just come up and not just in friendship groups or home groups, just social events, anytime, ask the Holy Spirit for impressions. I said, Holy Spirit, use me. Let me see what you see. Feel what you feel. In the leadership meeting I'm going to go to in a few minutes, you know, right before I'll go to one, I'll just give me a phrase, give me a feeling, give me a picture. And I don't have to verbalize it to everyone exactly what I saw, but I operate on it. I'll say something related to it. Again, I'll say, you know, something like, I might say, I think the Lord wants us to highlight this, or often I'll just pray it over people, or I'll inject an idea into the conversation. And sometimes people go, wow, that's the Lord. And other times they go, that was really dumb. And sometimes it was dumb. But I want to keep growing in it. I want to keep doing it. But I ask the Holy Spirit, use me. I want those impressions. Paragraph S, strengthen me. Now, in our last session, we talked about the 10 prayers. And it's not, I don't mean the 10, like there are 10. I just created an app. Use the acronym fellowship in our session last week, session of 4 in our part 2 series here on growing in prayer. And I gave 10 prayers related to the acronym fellowship. There's more than 10, but I'll go through, ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen me, and I might go off into a few of those 10 prayers related to the acronym fellowship, or maybe I'll just say, Holy Spirit, strengthen me with might. Galatians chapter 5. It's not, do we just ask for the strength that's in our spirit to inspire our emotions in our mind. That's what we're asking. We're asking him to strengthen our inner man. We're asking for the spirit, the power that's already in our spirit to impact our emotions and our thinking. But Galatians chapter 5, Paul says the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, etc. There's 9 different results of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, all of those 9 virtues are already dwelling in your spirit the day you were born again, the fullness of them. The power to love, the power for peace is already fully in your spirit, man. The problem is you want that power to touch your mind and emotions. Not enough that it's in my spirit. I want it in my mind and emotions, but one way we do it is we thank the Holy Spirit for the strength that's in us. And I don't mean it's the strength that's in my mind and emotions. It's the strength that's in my spirit. I go, Holy Spirit, thank you for strength. Thank you for love. Thank you for peace. I'll be in a disturbing situation, and your mind and your emotions, your mind is troubled. Your emotions are starting to get into a storm, and I'll just kind of retreat inwardly and say, thank you for peace. And just by thanking him for the peace, that the strength that's already in your spirit, it will affect your soul, your mind, and emotions. Paragraph T, teach me. Teach me. The Holy Spirit is the teacher who leads us into God's ways, God's word, God's will. All of those things. The Holy Spirit came to teach us. Again, I love to say this. He knows everything about everything. He's got creative ideas for you, for every area of your life. He can teach you how to steward your money better. He can teach you how to excel in your career, how to manage your time. Ask him how to say, Holy Spirit, I want wisdom in my relationships, whether in the home, in the office, the school, just all your relationships. The hard ones, the easy ones, the new ones, the old ones. He knows about all your relationships. Ask him, say, teach me. Tell me how to walk in purity. Tell me how to walk in health. He knows about your diet. He knows about your exercise. He knows about your sleeping patterns. You know, people say, oh, my sleep is all messed up. Ask the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm all for searching out what science and natural facts are, but ask the Holy Spirit, say, give me a phrase, give me a key about why I can't sleep, why I don't have energy. Speak to me. And again, there are physical and natural laws that are good to know and participate in. I mean, they're very important to know and participate in, not just good. But the Holy Spirit often will give you a phrase. He may not give it to you right away, but he'll, sometimes it's through the lips of somebody else, sometimes it's through a book you're reading, and there it is. And you say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to talk to the Holy Spirit for just a few moments. Just for 2 or 3 minutes here. Now, I like looking out there because a bunch of you are smiling right now. No, I just see smiles there. Good, good Holy Spirit, we're going to do it. That's how I interpret that smile. Some of you might be smiling, we're finally done. But anyway, just kidding. No, I can see some of you have that anticipation. I want to do this. I want to do this. Let's just close your eyes for a moment. I mean, you don't have to close your eyes, but I find it sometimes just to get rid of the distractions, but that's not good when you're driving. Keep the eyes open when you do this. When I drive home, I keep my eyes open when I do this. Can I just focus your mind inwardly? You're talking to God, the Holy Spirit, that burning bush that Moses saw dwelling in your spirit, right in your belly, King James says. Again, that's not the perfect language, but just lock in there. This radiant, glorious being. So we're going to do T. Start with the first T. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just kind of whisper. Don't say lots of words at once. Just thank you, Holy Spirit. You're there. I love your leadership. Love your presence. Some of you just want to go like, go ahead, you can do that. when I kick in that, I mean, go in that mode, that, oh. Just even those short little sighs, sometimes it's just even the Holy Spirit connecting with you that Paul talked about in Romans 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're there. R. The revelation of his glory. Escort me into the experiences of the glory of God. Holy Spirit, lead me. Lead me. Lead me into all truth. That's the T at the end of trust. Right now, I'm talking about encounters with the angelic realm, the glory of God, the throne realm. I want to see the angels ascend and descend. Jesus said, again, I'm talking way too much. If I was talking to the Holy Spirit, way less than that. Way less than that. I want to experience your glory. Usher me in. Next one, you. T-R-U-S-T. Use me, Holy Spirit. Give me impressions. Let me see visions. Let me be a blessing to speak those phrases that unlock the power of God in people's lives. Use me in the gifts. Lord, you said the sons and daughters will all see visions. Give me those short mental visions or those open visions, either one. Let me operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Again, I'm talking to, I would say this way less if I was to the Lord. I would pause in between each one of those phrases. Now we're at the fourth letter, S, strengthen me. Strengthen me. Thank you for strengthening my spirit. Thank you. Strengthen my inner man. Cause my mind and emotions to be inspired by your strength. Strengthen me. Again, at this time, I might go into a few of the acronym for fellowship, a few of those. Unite my heart to fear your name. Strengthen my inner man. Every few moments, you might just say, I love you, Holy Spirit. I love your leadership. I want to feel your presence. Just those words of affirmation. Every now and then you just pray in the Spirit a little bit. Just be quiet for a moment, you know, 30, 40 seconds or longer. Those little sighs that you feel like, oh, those groans, those very subtle. Many times they're subtle. Sometimes they're far more overt. And then paragraph T, teach me. Oh, teach me about the word. Show me the word. Teach me about your ways for my body, for my schedule, my my time, my money, teach me. Again, that's too many phrases in one sentence when you're talking to him. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. And just do that over thousands and thousands of times over the next years. We're going to take a 15-minute break.